There are several interesting passages in the Bible that talk about man, and they also set forth truth about us very, very powerfully. One of those is found in Job 14, verse 1. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. The wise writer of Ecclesiastes, Solomon, echoed that same sentiment in Ecclesiastes 2, verse 23. All his days are sorrow, his travail, grief. Yea, his heart findeth no rest at night. This also is vanity. One individual described the life of a man in these words: either we are preparing for a struggle, or we are enduring a struggle, or we have just left a struggle. And how true that is, isn't it? Oftentimes in life. My friends, there is no human being on the face of this earth who has not at some point gone through a hardship, a trial, a difficulty, a struggle. And notice several facts about those struggles. Sometimes they are long and they are hard and they are trying, aren't they? Sometimes they cause us to question life and have many doubts, and sometimes even doubts about the Almighty God. There are times when our struggles and our difficulties can lead us to the very edge, if not put us in the very middle of depression itself. Sometimes we grow bitter, and sometimes we grow angry because of the difficulties and the struggles and what appear to be the unfairness of life. But my friends, the truth of the matter is this: our struggles, regardless of where they come from, are all about perspective. If you and I can look at our struggles and our difficulties in the right way, through the right lens, then we can sometimes, rather than grow bitter, rejoice in those things. Rather than becoming worse, you and I can become better. And one of the ways to look at our struggles is to see them as open doors. Let me ask you something. If you open the door at your house, are you not exposed to some things? The minute you throw that door open this morning, all the cold air comes rushing in and you're exposed to the elements. You open your door and you are exposed to oftentimes things that are evil and bad. But open doors expose us to things, and our struggles, my friend, open doors to us that are needful in our life. Thus the title: Struggles Open Doors. This morning we're going to be talking about some doors that are open to us as we go through all of the difficulties of our life. Point number one: struggles open doors to our weaknesses. Sometimes we like to think of ourselves as being very strong people, don't we? When all is good and all is well, if we ask ourselves questions, we would say, "Oh yes, I'm faithful. Oh yes, I'm confident. Oh yes, I'm an obedient individual. Oh yes, I am a person who has deep convictions and I can never ever be moved." And then the struggle comes. And all of a sudden, what I find is I am not what I thought that I was. Sometimes I find that I have a lack of strength. Sometimes I find that I have a lack of faith. There are times when I find I have a lack of knowledge as to how to deal with a particular circumstance. Sometimes I find that I have a lack of proper emotions. Oh, I have a host of negative ones, but in my trials, I have a lack of good emotions. Sometimes I find that I even have a lack of obedience to God when things get hard and things get tough in life. We turn into the Bible and we find different individuals who are going through different types of struggles and hardships. And guess what? They find out how weak they really are. They find out that they aren't individuals of strength, but they do have weaknesses. We're all familiar with 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. The armies of Israel have gathered on one hill and the armies of the Philistines on another. And there is a giant of a man by the name of Goliath who daily makes his way into the valley and challenges the armies of Israel. The Bible says that the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." Folks, the fight is on, isn't it? The armies of Israel are now in the struggle. They are in the battle. What are they going to do? The text says this: "And when Saul and all Israel heard the words of the Philistines, they were dismayed," watch this, "and greatly afraid." Here old Saul was, a man who towered head and shoulders over all of the men of Israel. Here was a man who was in a position of power. Here was a man who had his armor on, well equipped, the best armor that money could buy. Here was a man who had already gone out and defeated the armies of the Philistines. And yet, when Goliath defies him, he's shaking in his boots, is he not? Goliath exposed the weakness of King Saul. How about this man? A man by the name of Peter. If you were to ask Peter, "Peter, are you a strong, confident individual?" "Oh, you bet I am." "Are you a man of faith?" "Absolutely." "Would you ever deny the Lord?" "Not me." "You can bank on that." And what happens? They arrest our Lord. They take him before the Jewish authorities. Peter's there in the palace itself, the Bible says. He sat without. And a little damsel comes along. And she says this: "This man was also with Jesus of Galilee." And Peter immediately stood up and Peter said, "You bet I was. And I'll stand for my Lord." Are you kidding? The Bible says this, and Peter said, and Peter denied it before them all and said, "I know not what thou sayest. I don't know the Lord. I'm not one of his apostles. I've never followed him. I don't know what you're talking about." Blatantly denied being an apostle of Jesus. And that happened not once, but how many times? Three times, folks. The weakness of Peter was exposed in his suffering. Question: is it a good thing for me to know my weaknesses? Absolutely. It's a wonderful thing for me to know my weaknesses. Folks, until I know wherein I am weak, I can never really ever strengthen myself in those areas. So you see, when a struggle, when a difficulty exposes my weakness, I ought to rejoice in that because now I know where I really need to go to work, don't I? Because you see, until then, I have a false view of who I am. But the opposite is also true. Struggles open doors to my strengths, don't they? It's amazing how many individuals oftentimes think of themselves as being weak instead of strong. They'll see someone else struggling and they'll say something like this: "Oh, I'm glad that I'm not having to go through that because I just don't think that I can make it." And then guess what? All of a sudden, they too are put to the test. And guess what? All of those things that they didn't know about themselves now shine, don't they? They look at themselves and they say, you know what? I am a person of unbelievable endurance. They look at themselves and say, yes, you know, I didn't give up on God. I didn't quit. I kept on and I maintained a marvelous faith through everything that I was going. Through their trials, they maintain a positive attitude. Just a moment ago, Glenn made mention of Loretta. Folks, go visit Loretta. Oh yes, she'll tell you the truth about how she feels. I'm not feeling good. I feel bad. I'm not improving. But guess what? She never gives up a good attitude. She'll laugh. She'll joke. She talks to the people that come in. She's never demeaning. A wonderful attitude about things. And folks, that's what you desire. You see, she's a woman of great strength when it comes to suffering. A person goes through these difficulties and guess what? All of a sudden now they have to stand. Now they have to be individuals with conviction. And all of a sudden they find themselves able to do exactly that. Do we have any examples of it in Scripture? Oh, yes. How about a man by the name of Job? I don't think things could have gotten any worse for Job, hardly, could you? You get news in one day that every bit of your wealth has been removed from you. Another messenger comes along and he tells you every child that you have, and the number is 10, is dead. What do you do? And Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down on the ground. Watch this. And worshiped. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Folks, there's a man of strength, is it not? Whatever God does to me, regardless of what it is, I will never curse my God. His friends came and helped him out a lot, didn't they? Job said of them, miserable counselors are ye all. They were horrible. Falsely accusing him, falsely charging him, falsely accusing his children of sin and iniquity. And even in the midst of all that struggle, when his body, head to toe, full of boils, he said this, yet though he slay me, yet will I trust Him and maintain my ways before Him. Folks, I'll guarantee you there's been few of us, maybe a few, but very few, who have gone through the afflictions and the sufferings and the trials of Job himself. Very few. And here was a man who, when he went through that, what did he demonstrate? He demonstrated this. I have great strength. In fact, so much patience that it is said in the book of James, ye have heard of the patience of Job. Wow. A man of strength, folks. So you see, sometimes my struggles show me to be an individual of wonderful traits and strength before God. So number one, what do my trials do? They show my weaknesses. Number two, they exhibit my strength. And number three, they open doors to growth. My friends, the reality is this. The only way that you and I are going to grow is to be challenged. Now, I'm not a big guy, never have been. But you want to know what? There's only one way for me to get muscles. You know it? I got to go to the gym. I can't just sit down at the TV and say, boy, I wish I had some muscles. You got to go to the gym. You got to pick up them nasty weights. And not just one set, not just one rep. Three sets, four sets, five sets, just to have a muscle or two. It's miserable, but folks, guess what? You will never grow until you're challenged. You see, once we're challenged, here's what we find. The easy road is no longer an option. We love the easy road, don't we? We love the comfortable. We love what's familiar. We love what doesn't challenge us. And all of a sudden we're going through a challenge and guess what? The easy road isn't an option anymore. In addition, we have to start changing our thinking, don't we? Wow. I can't think the way I used to. Life's not the way it used to be. So guess what? All of a sudden, everything gets radically altered in my brain. I also have to change my behaviors. Can't do the same thing that I used to do. One man told me that when he started dialysis, guess what? All of life changed. Everything. Can you imagine that? You go to a doctor one day and they tell you, you've got to go on dialysis, you'll start Monday. You're retired, you go fishing every Monday morning. Guess what? No more fishing. Needles in your arms for dialysis 3 days a week. Fishing's out. Life changes, folks. Behaviors change. And guess what? You have to become a different person, don't you? And folks, you see what that is? That's growth. Did you know that? I'm not who I used to be a year ago. I'm not who I used to be a month ago. I may not be who I used to be a day ago. Why? Because I had to change because of the struggles that life's presented me. Does the Bible talk about growth and struggles? Oh, yes. In numerous places it does. Romans 5, verses 3 and 4, the Apostle Paul says, we glory in our tribulations. Why? Because tribulations worketh patience. Patience worketh endurance. And that endurance or experience worketh hope. You see, in order for me to have the hope that I need, I've got to go through the trials and the difficulties, folks. What did James say? In James 1, 2, and 3, brethren, I count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh what? Worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be complete and entire, wanting nothing. The only way for you to grow up, the only way for you to be mature, the only way for you to be a full-grown man in Christ is to endure hardship, folks, to go through the trials and the difficulties. Did Joseph have to change? Did he have to grow? When you first meet Joseph in the biblical text, he's just a young lad, isn't he? Kind of pampered. You see, he's the favorite of Daddy. And Daddy gave him a pretty coat of many colors, didn't he? Envied by his brothers. Ugh, that little fella. Why did he have to be born? And he was just a little shepherd lad, was he not? And sometimes he wasn't even big enough and old enough to go out into the fields to be a shepherd. He had to stay home while his brothers did that kind of work. And yet we turn into the Bibles and we know all the hardships and all the difficulties and all the struggles through which he went. Cast into a pit, sold into slavery, put in prison. Years, folks, some 22 years, Joseph went through all of those difficulties. But where did he wind up? Second in command of Egypt. The only individual who was above him was Pharaoh himself. That's growth, isn't it? And my friends, if Joseph had stayed at home, had he not gone through those difficulties, he would have never been in the position that he rose to in Egypt. Never. You see, struggles open doors to growth. How about this one? Struggles open doors to God. Are we individuals who are quite self-sufficient? Pretty much so. We have just about everything we need. It's sad when your kids call you and they say, Dad, what do you want for Christmas? I don't need anything. Isn't that true? You formulate some little list of stuff that you really don't need. If I needed it, I already got it. You see, we're self-sufficient. We have everything that we need. And folks, when that happens, you and I have a tendency to forget God. Now watch this. This is important. Oh yeah, we acknowledge Him. But we're not very dependent on Him. You know that? Oh yeah, we'll come to the worship once a week. Oh God, I love you. I did not forsake your assembly. But I'm not really dependent on God for what I need. I do it all. It's about me. You see, that's the attitude that we get sometimes. We give God lip service, don't we? But guess what? He's really not the fuel. He's really not the energy. He's really not the power of my life. I am, I think. And then all of a sudden, guess what? There's a struggle. And folks, watch what happens. Struggles what? Struggles humble us. Struggles show how weak we really are. Struggles show that we're not as self-sufficient as we thought we were. And struggles make us dependent on someone. We turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 73, and there's a man writing there by the name of Asa. Asa is struggling. Asa is afflicted, not physically, but mentally. And the reason that he's afflicted is because he looks around the world and he sees all these evil individuals who are prosperous, all these wicked people who have all the things that they need in their life as if there are no troubles whatsoever, and he wonders why. And he describes himself in verse 2, "As for me, my feet almost gave way. My steps almost slipped." Where is he, folks? He's right on the edge of unfaithfulness. He's right on the edge of unbelief. He's right on the edge of depression. I don't understand this. I don't get this. And we get to the very last verse. And guess what he says? "It was good for me that I turned to my God." I have faith in the Lord God. I will ever declare His ways. Here's a man who said, "The only thing that got me through this struggle was turning to the Almighty God. There was nothing else that I had. There was nothing else left for me. And so who did I turn to? I turned to God and I put my trust in Him." You see, struggles make me turn to the right person. You see, sometimes we just get so sufficient and so accepting of the status quo that sometimes something happens in our life that jolts us to where we have to look to a higher being. And that being is the Almighty God. Notice also that struggles open doors to prayer, doesn't it? Though sometimes in our struggles, we look around and there are no physical solutions whatsoever. There's no resources. There's no medication. There's not even a human being on the planet who can help me. And all we can do is what? Pray. That's it. All we can do is drop to our knees and offer up prayer to God. I'm reminded of Peter when he walked on the water, aren't you? Oh, Peter was out there walking and everything was fine, and all of a sudden he looks around and the Bible says that what? He saw the waves boisterous and he began to sink. And guess what? Those other apostles were in the boat. What are they going to do? And as he sinks, there's only one thing he can do, and the Bible says this. And he cried out and said, "Lord, save me. Save me." It's the only one he could turn to. What is it that the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 4:16? "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Folks, when things are going bad, when it looks as though there's no answer, when there's no end to this, guess who you go to? You go to God and put your trust in Him. I got a 7-point lesson for you if you want it. We'd be here another hour. But notice, prayer ignites God's energy. Secondly, prayer brings us into the storehouse of God's resources. Prayer is what unlocks the treasure chest of all the riches that God possesses, folks. When you and I pray, God immediately goes into operation. And oftentimes, His voice commands the heavenly hosts on our behalf. That's an unbelievable statement, folks, if you think about it. When you and I bow our heads in prayer, we are now reminded of the promises of the Almighty God. Our prayer life can bring us wisdom into our lives as well. And notice lastly, it ignites hope in the heart of man. What a lesson, wouldn't it be? 7 benefits of prayer when struggle comes. How about this one? Our struggles open doors to other people, don't they? I don't know of too many individuals who live in a bubble or live on an island, or who live in solitude of some sort, do you? Every one of us have people that are in our lives at least a little bit. There's family, there's friends, there's associates, there's brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. And folks, watch this. When they see us struggling, when they see us hurting, guess what happens oftentimes? Those other individuals are drawn toward us in order to assist us. When we talk about the letter to the Philippians, most of the time we brag on the Apostle Paul, don't we? Paul's in prison and he writes this letter to the Philippians, and it's a letter of rejoicing in a horrible condition. And that is part of the letter. But folks, you want to know what's another part of that letter? Paul wrote that letter to give thanks to some individuals who responded to his needs. The Philippian church heard that the Apostle Paul had been imprisoned in Rome. They heard that his freedom was going to be removed from him for several months. And they loved him and they cared about him. And guess what they did? They got a huge gift together and they sent it by the hands of a man by the name of Epaphras. Philippians 4 verse 10, Paul says, "But I rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ, that at the last your care for me," watch this, "hath flourished again." This wasn't the first time. This wasn't the first time this church had came to the aid of the Apostle Paul. You see, Paul's struggle and Paul's suffering opened the door to the Philippians to provide for his needs and brought those individuals back into his life again. We go down to verse 18. And the Apostle Paul says, "I have all, I abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus those things which were sent by you." Here's a congregation of the Lord's people who love this apostle, who love this preacher, who love this man of God, who love this Christian enough that they're going to be right there for him in his affliction. Folks, my struggles open doors to other individuals. My struggles also open doors to hope, don't they? When you first enter into a struggle, that struggle oftentimes brings darkness into your life, doesn't it? This is horrible. This is terrible. This is bad. And we begin to say things. Can I really make it through this? We begin to question why. Why me? Why now? Why this particular problem? Why this disease? Why this issue in my life? Why, God? We also question our minds. Where is this all eventually going to end? And all of a sudden, somewhere in the middle of that struggle, guess what, folks? Our eyes are opened to hope, aren't they? And folks, that hope involves a better life. That hope says this: I can recover. I can be better. Things will be okay. My hope tells me I see the purpose of what I'm going through now. I didn't before, but now I do. And if nothing else, my struggle helps me to prepare and to see a world that is beyond this one, folks. We should never get comfortable in this world. This world is not my home. My citizenship lies in heaven, doesn't yours? The Apostle Paul, can you imagine? Landed in a Roman prison for the second time, stands before Caesar, knows he's pronounced guilty, knows that this is the end, know that there's nothing but death that awaits me. And so what does he do? He picks up pen, writes a letter, and he cries to Timothy. Here's what he says: I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge shall give me at that day. Hope, folks. Yes, I'm going to be sentenced to death. Yes, I'm going to have my life taken from me. Yes, I'll no longer be here with all the brethren that I love. But guess what? There is something better on the other side. That's hope in the midst of struggle, folks. We started our lesson by talking about how bad man's life is, didn't we? Man that is born of woman is a few days and what? Full of trouble. You see, we go through the struggles. But I want you to listen to what the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 12:11. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Isn't that true? I've never heard anybody who, when they're going through a struggle, just looks at me and says this: oh, I love these struggles so much, I hope they just stay in my life. Well, you don't say that. And Paul understood that. They're grievous. They're not joyous. But notice what he also says: but afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness in them that believe. Suffering opens the doors, exposes us to so many things that we've talked about in the course of this lesson that are beneficial to me in my life. And that's why immediately after Hebrews 12, verse 11, the writer says this: wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for thy feet, lest what? Lest that which is lame turn out of the way, but rather that it be healed. Folks, don't let your sufferings, don't let your difficulties, don't let your challenges, don't let those hardships in life move you away from God. Oh no, strengthen yourself. Because those things are of great benefit in our lives as children of the living God. It's all about what? It's all about perspective, isn't it? Folks, you and I serve a wonderful God. You know that? A God who can make bad things blessings within our lives. Don't you want to be His child? If you're not, we invite you to be. The steps of salvation are so simple. You hear the gospel. You believe in the Christ as the Son of God. You die to that old way of living. You confess the name of Jesus and you're immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16, verse 16. Do you need to do that today? Dear Christian, where are you in your spiritual life? Have you let the trials and the tribulations and the difficulties discourage you, even to the point that you have taken a step back instead of forward? Folks, don't do that. Lift up the hands which hang down. Strengthen those feeble knees. And press on toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Do you need to resolve yourself to do that? Won't you do so today as together we stand and as we